All right, Luke 16. Verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Remember that we've talked about the two deaths. One is essentially, Adam was born dead, but the death is separation from God. Not Adam, everybody after Adam.
Abel
and Cain. But there's this being that masquerades as you, that isn't you. The being is this, and always has been, since the fall, the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. We can't believe. We can study it till hell freezes over. But your mind will never believe that you are the instead of Christ, that you are the 666, that you are the Antichrist that's pictured in all of the terrible movies. And because you can't, we can't, for the most part, understand that, we think that there are some thoughts that we have and some uses of our mind that are good. And we can't still understand, after all these years, that in truth we have never existed as an independent being. We've always simply been a vessel for deity. As the fruit of the fall, the deity was the snake. And that's continued throughout. God gave every opportunity for that snake, that instead of Christ, that Adam, if you will, to come to the end. When they killed his son, it was over. Now his own right arm, his own Zerah, his own seed has gotten him the victory. You can still masquerade as you, but you're not you. The real issue is that Jesus Christ is your only life, your only self. And that's where the confusion comes in with regard to pronouns. Because we always try to keep us in the picture. Not. We're gone.
You used a pronoun a minute ago that kind of jumped out at me. You said the mind can never believe that.
The mind can never believe that you're not who you said, that you're not an independent self.
Yeah. The pronoun there. Kind of with odd, just straight to it. It can't believe that it is the Antichrist. It's like it's a separate entity from who you really are, and it has all this power to cause you to think.
Yeah, but also it is only the instead of Christ. It is the Antichrist.
Yeah, but it can't believe that.
Huh?
It can't accept that.
Not until everything comes to a total crashing end in your life, where there's no more, you gain no more sustenance and satisfaction from anything you're doing or anything you can imagine to do. That's poverty. That's, the gospel is only to the poor. As long as you have things to do and places to go, and then you will never believe it. You'll hear the words. You may even talk about it, but your mind will never stop letting you think it's in charge. And it certainly is an it.
Yeah. So it's referred to also as you. It's an it, but when you talk about it, you talk as if you and your mind are one.
They are.
Yeah.
But I just like to call it an it because it's a worthless enemy. But all the world wanders after the beast. All the world. Everyone that dwells on the earth is deceived. That's why if you love the world, give breath to things in the world, that's the evidence that you're still living in the world. It's hard. It's this is like it says the evil one, the son of perdition, has set himself up in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. He shows himself that he's God because he judges good and evil. We're not there. We love to believe the independent self, but it's not, there's never been an independent self.
Is that where faith takes over? When all logic is aside and it's not what you think it is?
That's faith.
No way to go from one side to the other without it being clear faith. It's got to be.
Right.
There's no.
That's when faith enters the picture.
That's when faith enters into the picture. Faith has to be
responsible. Well, faith is everything. That's why the scriptures are so, Pete brought all these down the other day about all the places where the promise of God is essentially whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. If you, whatever you pray for, it shall be done. Now, that's not going to happen. It doesn't happen because the garment is spotted by the flesh and he's not going to give his glory to anybody but him. So we dance around it. We make excuses. We culturalize it. We say, well, that was for another time. But if it's needed in any time in history, it's needed now. The just shall live by his faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But you can't even hear this. You can't even believe it. I bet I've told certain people that visit here every once in a while, 100 times since I knew him since 1964. And I've talked to him 100 times since I've been a believer. And each time I've talked to him, maybe 1,000 times, I've reminded him that he's the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. And to him, it's a joke. It doesn't mean anything. It's just I happen to be that guy that believes that. But there's no possibility of him ever believing it because he's got places to go and things to do. And purposes in life. So he loves the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And who is the love of the Father? There is only one. The love of the Father is Jesus Christ. And so you try to understand these matters with your mind. It can't be done. It only can be done after, it only is seen after repentance. Then you have need that no man teach you. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because the preaching of the cross comes against all that BS. Here we're going to study. It says, Lazarus, the rich man, wanted Lazarus to go down and talk to his brothers. And this this is one of those sayings that was, to me, was like, who told you you were naked? This one is, we'll study it later, but if they did not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. It can't happen. You can't. If Moses and the prophets didn't get them and get you, then the one rose from the dead right in front of them. They still not believe. Have to believe that God, this God of ours, has our best interests at heart. No, he's got Christ's best interests at heart. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But everything separates us from the love of God if you don't see that. You get a hangnail and you're separated from the love of God. You get a toothache. Oh my God, why is he putting me through this? Anybody response to any of this? It wasn't a rant, it was a quiet rant.
Very quiet.
Huh?
Very, very quiet.
Those are the most dangerous kind.
Yes.
Remember, let's just read it. Go to Revelation 21.
You know what this feels like? It's like the way.
It's what?
It's like the way.
It is the only way, yeah. It's the way, singular.
Yeah.
Chapter 21, Revelation. And I saw a new heaven. On the new earth. And the word for earth there just means, it's not like, it doesn't mean this earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what happened on Pentecost. Saw the new Jerusalem descending as a bride. Now, and again, the new Jerusalem, wherever we are, is your overriding reality. It's here. It's now. It isn't up there. It's here. It's heaven is just a word that means the highest in rank, but it's up there. Hell is the lowest in rank, so it's down there. All of time, 24 hours a day, as long as time lasts, is passing through that new Jerusalem. And it's going from west to east, because that's, and everything is moving to it, and everything is moving through it. And the only thing that stays in it, that which came from the New Jerusalem. Everything else goes out into the Gehenna or the dump or hell. It's just a dump. all of our flesh, no matter whether we're buried or burned, all of our flesh, all of our brain cells, boom, right into the dump, because they didn't come from the New Jerusalem. God has chosen now the vessel to be this mystery of clay, if you will. He's let you see at last with stupidity and emptiness and vainness of all of this thing. I pray that he has. And he's chosen. He's called you as a vessel. Continue to be a vessel. You've always been a vessel, but you never knew it. But now you become the vessel for the real God. That vessel has to have a clear channel between itself and the Son and the bride, and the Father, so that it's just like a water pipe. It's emptied. So that mind of Christ, which was emptiness, can keep you and all of this thing up here directly, clear path to the Father. I happen to believe, it doesn't matter whether anybody else believes it, but I happen to believe that path to the Father is this thing we call the pineal body, that's the gland that's right in the center of your brain. That is the mind. That is the place where all of the direction is given. But you've got, it's right in the center, but you have all these 10 billion neuron paths that cover it all up, so you can't. It's just noise all over the place, and it's the noise of these 70 elders in your Jerusalem that now is here, this beast, and all the little things it tells you, and oh, it's going to always tell you this is a good idea, this is how you do that, but none of that is faith. The faith of Christ comes only from the Father. And it just means an empty channel between you and him. That's why it says, unless you hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, your own life also, if you love any of that, then you will give importance to those things. Which is why this is an offense to every human being that ever lived. Until you have reached the end of self. You don't understand it, but the Holy Spirit is working on you constantly. Not to direct you, but to convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So that your only idea what sin is, it isn't what you do wrong, it's who you are. When that finally penetrates that you are the man of sin, then repentance is automatic. And the idea of paying any attention to the words or the emotions of the man of sin becomes foreign to you. It convicts the world of sin, of righteousness. Now, you can never be right about anything, because the only right thing in the world, in the universe, in all of time and space, is that he went to the Father. That's your only, and anything else that you judge as righteous is just spit. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. That's the only judgment that you can have of judging anything. Not somebody's behavior, not somebody's deeds even, The only judgment is the prince of the world is judged. Because of that's the only job of the Holy Spirit. And you know, for your benefit, the judgment against because you don't believe, but because you're trying to live your life and Christ's life at the same time, the only judgment, he's very merciful, so he's trying to he keeps giving you hints until you finally see it and abandon yourself. But therein is joy unspeakable, peace beyond anyone's understanding. Again, it's about us. It's not about me. Doesn't matter if I understand or don't understand. What God wants is for us to see it. Amen. That's why. People around that don't believe or don't even know it. The kids, they're covered by our belief. And we're covered by the belief of Christ. And he's covered by the Father. Remember the child. You spiritually may still be a child. You understand your sin is forgiven, but fundamentally you're still in that, you haven't come out of that Passover place and gone into the wilderness. I write unto you, young infants, darling infants, because your sin is forgiven. And I write unto you, teenagers, because nothing works. Except that you have once known the Father. And I write unto you, young adults, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth continually in you, and you've overcome the evil one. And I write unto you, fathers, because you've been with him from the beginning. But that's that going from the darling infant to the father position is already done. But it has to be, this test has to be, his test has to be repeated in you. So there's nothing, no more, even the slightest image or idea that any test has anything to do with you. You're gone. Now, as I read it, as I understand it, from both the conversion experience and in all those years of study and all these years of preaching, this is what every word of this scripture says. Frightening thing to say that you're going to live without thought. You have no thought, even for the basics of life. By his faith. The just shall live by his faith. I don't feel like talking anymore. Did that answer your question? I'm sorry. I took such a roundabout way to answer your question, John. Understand it? If that, after faith, all that, then faith appears.
Faith has faith, and it can't. You can't. can't be a gradual thing. There comes a point when, if I hear you correctly, it just is or isn't. You're either in or you're out. You're either totally in or you're not, and it takes faith to make that leap or take that step or whatever it takes to go one milliron farther. It's from a position of, by all appearances, very little, if any, faith to total 100% faith in a blink of an eye.
It can be that way.
Well, that's well, how could it, what's the other way?
Well, that's the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob again. It takes a struggle, it's instant, or it takes 100 years. But
wherever you are,
it's always rebellion that keeps
you. Wherever you are as an individual, whatever you've gone through to get to that point, it's a light going on.
Yeah.
Whether it's taking you 100 years to get there,
or a week,
or yesterday.
Right. No, I agree. I misunderstood what you said. Yeah, that's right. And then from then on, anything but faith becomes a stench to you, even though sometimes you do it.
How do you acquire that kind of faith?
Only repentance. Repentance is the only thing that releases anything of the power of God. And it's when you see that you're not doing it, Father, forgive me. If you see you're not doing it and you're afraid or you don't think you can do it the other way, you say, Father, you say that, so that you're always in the lowest seat.
No,
but you can do it if by the preaching of the cross. That's its purpose, to show you that everything else is empty and futile.
Maybe you get to a point where everything you think and everything you say, you know, has no value, and everything you hear and see from others has no value.
Right.
That's a hell of a step.
No value at all. Well, it's a different, it's when you finally see you're an alien. You have nothing to do with this world.
Yeah. And that, with that step, the independent self finally dies and you become dependent.
And that dependence, finally. That dependence is called faith. Totally dependent. Yeah. But it's the fruit of the cross. Right. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. The power of God is faith.
You follow and hear him, and he's your only voice.
Well, and you have to see these voices are full of, they're just crap. They've never been your friend. They always tell you something to, most of the time they judge you. Then they give you a great idea so they can judge you again. That's this guy's purpose. All our guys, it's a whole Sanhedrin up here.
That's very what I see, all the destruction and deception in my voice. And then occasionally I think, ooh, not bad.
Well, when you finally see that not bad is as evil as there is, then
that's the challenge.
That's the challenge.
The ultimate challenge. Because I see the deception and the destruction. This little.
Do you understand? I mean, this is why Jesus. He said, "If you do this, you believe what he's talking about, you'll be hated of all men."
And that's difficult. I don't want to be hated of all men, but I don't have to be loved by all men.
Well, again, you're not in the picture. That's the goal.
That's true. So there I bring me back in.
again, this thing about we as a people can only go as far as our weakest member in faith. That's the terrible truth that I found out many, many years ago. It's both terrible and it's wonderful. But the idea of a personal savior is just heresy. Well, it's. I just felt we needed to visit this thing again, but I hope it causes some awareness of the mystery again. Take it, big guy.